Our first lesson, friends, is the first 18 verses of Psalm 139. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them, but they are more than the sand. I come to the end, I am still with you. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Sometimes a life surprises us.
Okay, let's see. Where was I? Oh, what's interesting to me, though, too, is the passage I just read from Psalm 139. A number of you said, oh, wait, I heard that this week. Yes, the preacher tried a little something as he was coming around talking to people and visiting this week. He was reading that psalm to hear your thoughts. Some of those get worked into today's sermon, just so you know. I did ask first. I think Ann said once that he always asked before he... Yeah, I guess I really do. I was going to say, no, I don't, but I guess I do. All right, Acts 16, beginning at verse 9. The gospel message now is doing some amazing things. We had Peter take it into new places. Now we have Paul. Saul is now Paul. And Paul is now taking it into new places. This is pretty big. Acts 9, beginning at, or 16, beginning at verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who were gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listening eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she prevailed upon us. What if I said, you are so amazing that you are scary? Or in other words, you are frighteningly amazing. Okay. Well, some of you might tune me out right there, assuming that I'm just trying to curry your favor with some kind of flattery. Or maybe you would welcome the compliment, even if it sounds a little different from typical compliments. Or maybe the very notion intrigues you enough that you'd like to understand a little more about what I mean by such a curious descriptor. Well, I mean what I said. Each and every one of you, here and out there, and even reading this sermon sometime in the future, you yourself are so amazing that it is frightening. I mentioned that I was reading Psalm 139 with church folk this week, and I have enjoyed it. It was fun. It occurred to me that it would be nice to hear your thoughts about this passage that I'd already planned. It was on the schedule. A good number of us are sitting at home or in a facility because our bodies are struggling more significantly and more severely. We're hampered by the limitations and weaknesses of our bodies and not able to be out and about as freely as we once were. In the midst of all of this comes these words from Psalm 139. In particular, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Not just wonderfully, but also fearfully. We are scary amazing. God has made us scary amazing. As one of the residents of Brookview pushed me Wednesday, maybe since we are made in the image of God, our image is bigger than we realize. God is right impressive. God is to be feared with holy reverence. Maybe some of that awe rubs off on us too. The psalmist who wrote Psalm 139 seems to think so. When taking into account how complicated and intricate and well-designed the body is, God's handiwork is scary good. That sense of awe, great sense of awe, flows all through the readings today. In Psalm 139, we're awed by how God tends to us wherever we might be. Even in that Old Testament expression of hell, Sheol, even there, God tends to us from the very beginning of our lives, even before we are born. God has a hand in crafting us into something that is scary good and gives us all of our days. That awe spills over into the book of Acts with Paul hitting the road with the gospel. He knows he needs to go, and he has places in mind to share the good news. But right before that passage I read, the Spirit has other plans and prevents him again and again. He's not even allowed to go back to his home turf. Of course, we don't know what it looked like for the Spirit to refuse Paul, but Paul thinks this was very clear. You will not enter here. When the Spirit gets mixed into something, friends, things are always more interesting. You heard that vision that Paul had to head out into this brand new, never before entered area of ministry. The levels of awe are creeping up. This whole experience is becoming something awesome to Paul. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and maybe Luke himself now pack their bags and head into uncharted territory in faith. God is doing something really new and different here. It is so new and different that it is also awful. Now, bear in mind that both awesome and awful have awe as their root. It's really interesting. Both of them really mean full of awe. There are shades of differences in the roots, but they're polar opposites in English. Awesome is great. Awful is lousy. Both words are grounded in awe. We can be stunned, overwhelmed, amazed by good things and bad things. It's all about our perspectives. That's why we might not actually see ourselves as so wonderfully made. Maybe we lean more toward the fearfully made. Once we see life a little more from God's perspective, it's easier to be amazed. Paul was demanded, envisioned, led, driven by the Holy Spirit of Jesus to trek to a Roman town where there was not even a synagogue. He was not among his religious people. Ordinarily, though, you know, he would have begun his ministry in a town at the synagogue, at the Jewish synagogue, where he could have found people who shared his background, a common ground. Here, he has to go outside the city to find people to talk to. Ordinarily, his conversations, his messaging would have been given to men culturally, men were the ones active out and about in public life. Here, he's talking to women. Ordinarily, his greatest success was among people with whom he shared a common view of God, the God of Abraham and Sarah, his own people. Here, he finds someone ready to receive the good news in a Gentile woman. This is so scary. This is awful. How long ago was it that here in America, society basically expected women to stay in the home and tend to the house and family? Many of you remember those days. Even in my briefer life, I was raised in a family where my mother was essentially a housewife, working only in churches as a musician on Sundays. Otherwise, she was home baking all kinds of things for a growing boy needs, and yes, she was good at that. I'm still growing. Here, we have a powerful single woman in a male-dominated world taking care of Paul and his team. How do we know she was powerful? She was wealthy. How do we know she took care of this ministry team? Luke tells us that she impressed her hospitality upon them multiple times. They stayed with her. Once they had hospitality rights in Philippi, they were in a better position to work there in that town. How important is Lydia to the early church in this area? She would have been very important. Because that's why Luke is going to such lengths to tell us this story of her coming to faith. Were there other women in ministry? Sure, absolutely. Do we hear anything about them? Mostly not. Do we know their names? Often not. Here, we have a comparably lots of biography about this woman who was a great support and blessing to Paul and his ministry. Her story here blasts the doors off of the expectations of the early world and proves how the good news was changing everything. We should be full of awe at God's plan at work. Of course, not everybody in Philippi felt the same way, and we'll get more into that next week with the rest of this chapter. For now, I need to dwell a little bit more in how we are in awe of God. Some of you are awed by how long you have lived. I was amused the other day to hear the farmers confess that neither one of them expected to live as long as they have, and I would say doubly for the fact that they've lived that long together, celebrating 73 years of marriage next month. It seems to me that once we grasp each additional day is a gift from God, we really begin to see those days with greater meaning. Some of you are awed by the places that you've been able to go to, the things that you have seen. I asked the folks at the communion service I did at the Brookview earlier this week where they had been in the world. And several of them, yes, had been to faraway places, including Asian countries. I've been to India myself. I was curious as to whether they felt more or less distant from God away from our land of Christian churches on every street corner. Everyone agreed that God was close wherever we might be. Psalm 139 was shining there. Some of you are awed by what you've been able to do with this life, how much you have accomplished. And I'm going to pick on them a little bit. I didn't ask his permission first, and maybe I should have, but I feel like I'm okay with this, because every time I talk to Dickie Crawley, he tells me about how awed he is by what he's been able to do in this life. Again and again, you can see it in his face, you can hear it in his voice. He is awed by what God has done with his life. Amazed every time about how things have gone. Some of you are awed that God actually cares about you and that you have a place in this family of faith. Some of you are awed that we are important not only to God but also to each other. Now, this is such a beautiful and rich piece. You who have been around here for a while know how special these bonds are to you. Not only does God value you, God values us. Our sense of awe, our sense of wonder is essential to a person of faith. It opens to us what has been done, what God has done, what God is about to do, with an appreciation of how amazing God is, even when it might be hard to see. There are plenty of people who look to their lives and they see regrets, brokenness, tedium, existence, and disappointment. This misses the blessings that God gives. Even in our frustrations, there's always new territory, uncharted territory out there to which God is calling us all. We can embrace the grace and love that carries us into new places, new times, new people, and new ways. We can be awed by God's ongoing care in every way. We can choose to see awesome or awful, but I know which is far more enjoyable. To God be the glory. Amen.